Today on Dinking Deep, we have a really special guest joining us. He's not only a good friend of mine, but also a huge part of the pickleball community. He is the lead admin for the pickleball leagues at Club Pickleball USA. And if you've played there, you know the impact he's had. He's an athlete, a devoted dad, and someone who's admired by his peers for his kindness, integrity, and genuine nature. He's also known for his sharp sense of humor and has a unique, playful, and sometimes even tricky style he brings to the court that keeps everyone on their toes. Please enjoy our interview with Tad Silas Christiansen.
Welcome, Tad.
Glad to be here.
We're super excited to have you on. Let's get into it. So I wanted to set the stage for our viewers and listeners, kind of give us the normal background.
Give us Tad.
I grew up in Hemet, California. Not a lot of people know where that is.
I don't.
Unless you do methamphetamine.
That's fun sometimes.
That's where all the drug dealers live.
Okay.
It's north east of Temecula. A lot of people know where that is. So that's where all the like the rich white people live, and Hemet's where all the poor white people live.
How long did you live there for?
I grew up there. Same house, same everything. Then I went to school up at BYU and just stayed here.
How did you avoid the meth there?
How did I avoid the meth?
Yeah.
I didn't participate in those activities.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was your family LDS growing up? Or
yeah.
Were you? Okay.
Yeah. They're still LDS, and I'm on the fence. There's some things I like, some things I don't. And
you wouldn't believe how many people I've met who are in your very same shoes.
Yeah.
Well, especially in the pickleball community, there's a lot of people who are very kind and generous people.
Yeah.
And people who are kind and open to other people's point of view tend to disagree with some things that the LDS Church represents. So already getting in political stuff.
I like it.
I'm sorry.
That got spicy quick. I didn't know you were an on the fence guy. I thought you were all the way on the LDS Church.
I used to be.
Because you're so wholesome.
Oh, I know. I am so wholesome.
Yeah.
I don't do meth. Yeah, I'm just awesome.
That was the big flag for me.
That's good. That's good. That's awesome. Married, kids?
Oh, yeah. Yes, married. 5 kids, 2 in college.
Wow.
One's just, yeah. And I still have a 6-year-old. So we just like the normal Mormon family.
Yeah,
so.
Sure.
And our 6-year-old was kind of a surprise baby. She came 7 years after our youngest. We thought we were done and surprised we weren't. And so, yeah, it's just been fun. She's kind of helped our other kids like come out of the basement sometimes and actually say hi to us because they like being with her.
That's cool.
Yeah. So anyways, so 5 kids, been married. Fortunately, I've scaled back a little bit on pickleball so I could stay married. So that's good.
Yeah, we all get to that point.
Very true.
It's a very relatable problem.
Very true. So tell us a little bit about your childhood and growing up.
I played basketball. Like my dad was a baseball guy, and just as all kids, played soccer because that's an easy sport to get into. And then I played baseball, and then my dad introduced me to basketball, and that was like what I did. After that, I was just like, this is awesome. And then in high school, I got cut from the freshman team, and it really ticked me off. It was so hard because that was like my life, and so I like practiced every day, like doing my spin move, my shots, everything. And then my sophomore year, I tried out again. It was the end of my freshman year that we tried out for the JV team, and I made the first cut, and then I didn't make the second cut. What the heck? And fortunately, the coach was a jerk, and over summer league, a bunch of people quit, and since I was on the bubble, I got let on the team.
You made it.
Yeah, I made it, and then I just worked my butt off and ended up being a co-captain of the varsity team my senior year. So
wow,
yeah,
you were fueled by vengeance.
Yes, I was fueled by I'm better than half the guys that made this team. That's what I felt like, but I had to put my work ethic where my mouth was. Mm-hmm. And I was able to get on, and it was super fun.
That's awesome.
So this kind of leads into my next question. What were some of the core values that you were taught growing up? What do you think is kind of your personality, your characteristics?
That's a good question. I think number one for me is kindness. Like, if you're not kind, then like, why are you on the earth? Like, the whole point of the earth is to connect with people and to love people and help them feel loved. That's a huge core value for me. I think integrity, like standing up for what you believe in, being honest in what you do, all that is really important to me. I would rather lose face than be dishonest. So yeah, those are probably my biggest core values there.
And I see that in you too. Like, you're very genuine in your kindness as well. So it's very hard to fake that.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
You're a good dude, Tad.
Thanks.
So it sounds like you grew up playing some sports. It sounds like you were pretty competitive.
Extremely.
And I think that's kind of what brings us all to the table, mm-hmm. right? I think the people who are going to come on this pod are going to mostly be competitors, athletes. So you're a little bit older than some of the crowds we play with. Do you still feel that fire? Do you still feel it? Do you still feel that fire? Do you still want to be on the court as much as you were when you were a kid?
Honestly, I felt like that was missing in my life. Because after high school, I wanted to go to BYU because at that time I was super uber into LDS. And sure. So I went there and there was no way I was making that basketball team. And then, so I did intramural stuff and I still loved anything competition. So when I got married, there wasn't really there was church basketball and stuff like that, which was okay. And it was kind of fun, but it just wasn't the same level of competition. And it wasn't until 2021, it was right in the middle of COVID, when a friend of mine, just a neighbor, asked if I wanted to come play pickleball. And I was just I'd heard of it. And I'm like, isn't that the sport old people play?
Yeah. It is.
And it is. But and so I went and played and it was super confusing. And frankly, I thought it was kind of dumb because I'm just I always have to worry about where I'm at and whatever. And then later, that same guy asked if I wanted to do a tournament with him. And he's like, should we do 3-0 or 3-5? And I was like, well, I don't even know what that means. But then he's like, well, 3-0 is beginners and 3-5 is intermediate. And I was just like, okay, let's do intermediate then. It was in Pleasant Grove, indoors. And there was a bunch of old guys with pot bellies and stuff, and they wrecked us.
Yep.
And that goes back and go back to the basketball days. It kind of lit a fire where I'm like, okay, let's do this. Yeah. And so from then on, it was super competitive. I'm I'm going to get better at this. I'm never going to let that happen again. And ended up doing a 4-0 tournament with the same partner and then switching through different partners. And then I found out started doing Midnight Madness at Club Pickleball USA. And that was super fun. And that's where I met a lot of people. Another partner that we started doing tournaments together and ended up doing Red Rock together in 2023. And we did the 4-0 there and got fourth or fifth and played some really good teams. And from then on, I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get really good. I'm going to go pro even as a 46-year-old. And I started working hard and I played every day. I would Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I would play in the leagues. I'm sure you guys talked about this here, but so that I did that. And then Thursday was Moneyball with some of the best players.
You were deep in it.
Yeah. And deep then Friday I'd do drills with some friends and Saturday was more just a fun day, where every off and on Saturday I'd play with friends. And so it was, almost every day. It got to the point where I would be going to bed at 8:30 every night and just doing the pickleball thing every morning. And then I think it was a Saturday or Sunday, my daughter was like, hey, can I talk to you about some stuff? And I was like, sure. And she's like, well, you can go to bed because I know you got pickleball and whatever. And that kind of broke my heart where I was like, she thinks pickleball is more important than my daughter. And that was hard. And so that was back when I was my duper was 5'5". I was just getting ready for a pro event. I think that's when about the time, close to the time we met, because I remember us texting during when I was doing the pro event at Red Rock, and I was like, and it shows you how much I know, but I used to drop serve it a little, and that was my main serve. And then I do the pro event, and they're like, oh, you can't drop serve it. So I had to learn a new serve my first pro event, and that sucked. But fortunately, my teammate, Ashlyn Zimmerman, she's so cool and so easy to play with. And we had fun, got wrecked, but we had a lot of fun. So anyways.
So it sounds like you're a super competitor. So you love it.
I love the competition, but when it comes to family, I've had to scale way back.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
It sounds like you full sent it as soon as you got addicted to it. Yeah. And then you were hit with a, I'm forgetting I have kids moment.
Yeah. Yeah. You got five kids and you got to be a dad.
So what's your balance look like now with family, work, pickleball?
So I do one league now. Okay. I don't do money ball. I do two leagues because I just started up a mixed league as well.
Yep.
And actually, three leagues. Okay.
But I
don't show up to the one on Saturday, as many of the people who will watch this podcast will harass me about. They're like, what's your name again? And you know, stuff like that. So, but all of them are fun. Like, okay. Honestly, I love the competition, and that was missing for my life, and pickleball gave me that. But something that I was not expecting was the community. Yeah. And it was at the first Red Rock tournament I did. I was sitting down next to some lady I didn't know, and she's like, are those weird nachos? And I was like, sure, do you want one? And we just struck up a conversation and ended up being like one of my favorite pickleball partners, Aaron Kern. And
nice.
She's a rock star. She is like so fun to play with. Like, there's times I'm like giving a serve and she's like cracking a joke and like messing me up. And I'm like, what are you doing? But it's so fun all the time. And she's super real, just funny. And so that's what I need in a partner, someone who's like a control player, who's consistent and is just fun. Because then I get relaxed and I just have a lot of fun. So anyways. That's probably more information than you wanted, but
no,
you got it.
You're doing great.
That's awesome.
I mean, this interview is supposed to be just a deep dive into you and your life and getting to understand you. And when you go off on a tangent of family and pickleball, it's great. That's what we want to hear. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah. So for my part, I got into pickleball like 3 years ago, and then I've heard your name, like you mentioned earlier, like, you're like a shadowy figure in the pickleball community. Like, everyone knows your name.
Sure.
Like, they've seen it, but a lot of people haven't actually met you.
Yeah.
How I heard of you was I heard of the leagues at the Orem Club. They're all competitive. This guy named Tad runs it. So it's cool to finally meet you this year. And I want to know, how did you get into the leagues? Like, how did you make them? Were you the guy that started them? Did somebody already have them and you picked it up and you're making it better? Or what's your involvement with the leagues?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. So the person who started it was a guy named Dakota. I can't remember his last name, but he started it forever ago, probably 2022-ish.
Okay.
And I'm not sure. They had he and Benji had a really rudimentary spreadsheet that they used. And then Scott Martineau, I don't know if you know him, super good guy.
Yep.
He took that spreadsheet and made it into what you saw. Where I made a few minor improvements, but Scott added like the sub adjustment stuff. And then when Dakota was moving up north, he needed someone to run it. And so Brett and I were the only dumb ones dumb enough to volunteer to help out there. So Brett Clayson and I did it for a while.
Okay.
Brett did the bulk of the stuff. And then I kept getting people asking, hey, I want to get in the league. I want to get in the league. And we only had a premier and a challenger at that time. And that's when I was like, okay, we need to open this up a little bit more. And then so we added a C and then a D. And then I think that's around the time Sky came in and he started working. He's like, I want to be your spreadsheet guy, you know, and And boy, howdy, has he been the spreadsheet guy, because he's taken, it was like a super lame spreadsheet to a really good spreadsheet to an amazing spreadsheet now. Yeah. And so this guy's really done a good job with
that.
What
can I say? Good in the sheets.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. When I started growing it, I still remember there were a lot of people who were not against growing it. And there was a lot of discussion on how we should go about it. If there should be like two C leagues or a C and a D league. And we decided to go kind of the more ladder approach. Yep. And it's worked out really well. And then as Sky got into it and started doing some of the spreadsheet stuff, that like took a huge load off my time, because it was getting to the point where I was going to have to stop, because not only was I playing way too much, I had like a part-time job doing spreadsheets, submitting it to Duper, fixing issues, yep, everything like that. But then, so Sky came in and started doing spreadsheets. I reorganized it so each league has a leader, and that leader has taken a huge load off. Like, you're a league leader, you're co-leader right now with us, since all of us, Brett and I, got demoted.
Co-leader.
Yeah.
Loser.
No.
Get better, dude.
Whatever. He still runs it more than I do, especially with that league. And so it's been really good. A lot of people always feel like they should be in a higher league. And it's hard, because you want it to be fair. We had some kind of rumblings about it wasn't fair that, like, Ethan and Ryan Evelyn, yeah, both had to start in really low leagues because there were no open spots.
Yep.
And that was just super unfair to them. So something had to change. And I think it was Sky had mentioned potentially changing the way we do it. And then as a kind of, we have an admin committee, and we just, all of us were just kind of trying to brainstorm ideas. And I think where we landed was really good.
Yeah, it's been a process being part of the, we'll say, admin team, like, deciding how to do things, because you're affecting everyone's lives. I mean, their Duper is their personality. So a lot of, like, people are, like, concerned about, where am I going to be? Who am I going to be playing with? And a lot of people make that decision based on the last minute. Like, I don't want to play with these people because they just don't know them very well sometimes. Like, people like didn't know me, and I kept saying, I'm better than this, I'm better than this, I'm better than this. And finally, like, you know, I'm making a name for myself. I'm first in the league right now. So, you know, I'm making a name. But at the same time, like, it's a hard job to be involved in this. So we super value, you know, you doing that and being involved in that. And,
well, and honestly, it takes a village, right? Because even Erin Kern, she does all the Duper submissions now.
Shout out to Erin.
Do any of it?
Yeah, shout out to Erin.
For sure. And she just doesn't even participate in the leagues.
No.
She's doing it because she likes Duper and she likes pickleball.
Yeah.
And so.
That's cool.
Yeah. Super awesome.
Yeah. Well, the league is super fun. This was my first year playing it and my second season playing it. Definitely the best run league, best format league that I've played in so far. For everybody out there, what type of people do you think enjoy this league, and who should not play in this league?
The people enjoy this league because it's super competitive. I don't think you can find a better organization right now, or group of people with more competitive play in Utah. I mean, I would dare say California. I've been down to California too. There's a shout out to TTC. It's the tennis club, I think, is what it is. A lot of good players down there, but if any of them would come to League A or B, they'd get wrecked.
Fighting words.
Yeah, I agree, though. The concentration of talent in A and B is crazy.
Yeah,
any of those 8 or 12 guys, they're all killers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, sure. And it's been fun, too, because, like, this last time in Brigham City, I did a tournament there, and Todd Pierce, you guys, is he in B or
he's in C
or
B?
He's in,
yeah,
B.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, yeah.
So I played against him in the tournament, and we got talking after, because he's friends with Emily Nelson, the partner I was playing with.
Yep.
And he's like, "Oh yeah, I've heard about your leagues or whatever. Tell me more about it." And I told him about it, and Now he's in the league and he's killing it.
He's killing it. He's in first place and he drives down from Park City to play every Tuesday.
That's like 3 a.m.
Yeah, that's how good the league is. He's willing to drive down from Park City once a week to play. Yeah.
That's crazy. Killer. I think everyone knows this now, and this is another reason why we wanted to have you on the pod, but to like get your name and your face out there. But like, there was so much talk about Lehigh Pickler opening up and how it might steal the competition. I just feel like we have such a good community and such a competitive league that, like we just talked about, some guys driving down from Park City to specifically play in our leagues, like, it's super competitive. It's super fun. It's super awesome. Like, people need to come out and try out these leagues if they haven't already. Yep. I mean, there's not much room left. I mean, how many more days can we make leagues? Probably not many.
Yep.
We might even have to fight into the mixed leagues. But it's so competitive.
How deep is this wait list that we have for next season?
It's actually not as long this time as it has been in the past.
Okay.
There's probably about 20-ish people.
Just 20.
Well, no, in the past, we've had like 50 to 60 people like wanting to get in. We're like, sorry, if you're not like above a 4.5, it's not likely.
Tough.
Like even the first time I met you was your thing you ran up at the old Midvale Birdhouse or something.
Midvale Club.
And I remember talking to you and I was like, hey, you got it. Because I played you and I was like, dude, you're good. You come play with the leagues. Yeah. And that's usually how I want to recruit people. And like, you gotta do these leagues. And you had to start in like a lower league than you deserved. But I really appreciated you just being a good sport and saying, I got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
And then you killed it and then got promoted, super high.
Yeah, that's probably the thing with leagues is that you're never going to really end up where you want to be when you start. Mm-hmm. Just work your ass off and just grind up. Like, that's how ladder leagues work. That's how they're built. If you don't like it, get better and just move.
So besides the community aspect of pickleball, what do you feel like has been the most, I don't know, we'll say entertaining thing about the sport? Like, what do you love so much about pickleball besides the community?
Mm-hmm.
And being competitive.
This might be part of the community, but I love talking trash. Just like, just joking around and just saying obnoxious things to be a dork. And like, you've even said, you're like, you act like a kid or something. Like, oh my, because it's like I'm a kid. It's super fun. And like, some of the funnest times I have is dorking around with like Matt Johnson, super, super good guy. And then just like making fun of him for something. And then he'll make fun of me. And, you know, just when it's good natured like that, I love it so much.
Yeah.
Like, when people are jerks, like, that's not fun. But that, I really just love that. I love just being able to make a really good point. And then Ari, I don't know if you know Ari.
I don't know.
Worlton. Yeah. Just flipping you off, and that means you did a good job.
Yeah.
And so, whenever I get flipped off, it's awesome. I love it.
Wow.
And if you've never played with Tad before, for every smack talk that he gives you, he'll give you like 4 compliments afterwards to back it up. Like, I love playing with you for that reason.
If you hit a good shot in me, I'll call you a jerk for sure. At least a couple times, maybe a jerk face. Or
jerk face is a good one.
Yeah.
That's funny. So do you have any goals in pickleball, like short term, long term?
I think... Now, originally, like I said, I wanted to go pro. I wanted to be the oldest guy who ever went pro.
Sure.
And anymore, I think my goal is just to meet people and have a good time. I'm kind of an introvert. I don't fit in a box there very well, where generally being around people does not give me energy. But when it's people that I really like, it gives me a ton of energy. So like, when I'm playing pickleball with my friends, like this, the drill group that I had for a while was Ashlyn Zimmerman, Aaron Kern, Matt Johnson, Brett was in there too, just off and on. And all of them were just super good people and fun. And we're making fun of each other, just talking trash. And I would leave that Friday like feeling awesome, like this is the best sport ever. And so my goal is just to make sure I'm having fun. If you're not having fun, you're doing it wrong. So I heard this story. So I'm super into Buddhism, and there's this story of this guy who has a cup, and someone bumps into him, and coffee spills out, and this Buddhist teacher says, why was coffee spilled on this guy's shirt? And the guy says, because the guy ran into him, right? And he's like, no, it's because coffee was in the cup. And if there would have been water in the cup, it would have been water that spilled on him. And then he compared that to, in life, we're all going to get bumped into at different times. And whatever we've filled our cup with is going to come spilling out when we get bumped into. And so I think you can see that sometimes where if I get bumped into, someone makes a horrible call or something, I hope that some love will spill out and some kindness. And rather than rage or hate or anger or something like that. And I mean, and I'm not saying I'm perfect at it. I mean, even in this last tournament that Sky and I did, it was getting super intense. And there was a couple I thought were questionable calls. I was like, are you sure? And I looked at my buddy who was on the other side of the guy who didn't call it. And he was kind of like, yeah, that was in or whatever. And totally had my back, which I really appreciated because, mm-hmm. you know, and that shout out to John Widdowson, who's an awesome guy. And so I texted him after and I was just like, dude, I'm sorry. I got a little heated there. And he's just like, are you kidding me? I love you, Ted. And, you know, and that's the kind of people I want to be around.
Yeah.
It's just create connections and that of people that are genuinely kind and real and fun to be around.
I've been trying to work on my attitude on the court too. Like last season in our league, I felt like one of the reasons I wasn't performing to my expectation was because of how I was like reacting when my partners were not as consistent as I would have been, you know? And so I've been trying to really work on that skill. And so this last tournament, I actually played with Ashlyn, and we were playing against Ryder and his mom, Liz Boydston. And Ryder was on fire, just absolutely banging away. Like every ball was just, he was crushing them and they were.
He's got a great drive.
Maybe they were going to go in, maybe they weren't. I mean, he was crushing it. But I was like, do it again, you know? And it was like,
just have fun.
I was having fun with it, but I also was like, you know, I bet you can't do it again. Do it again, you know? And then after the game, I was like, dude, great game. You were on fire. Mm-hmm. He beat us, 15-3. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, that's his style. That's his game. But at the same time, I just was like trying to have more fun with it. And so I totally get that. And I value that. Like, have a better attitude on the court. Like, everyone's going to make mistakes. Like, it's just nice when you give compliments to people too. So even if they're not doing
well,
that great.
It affects your partner. Like there's a particular person who I will not name who I've seen him give up on plays as soon as the ball pops up, even a little bit, he's just like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how does that make your partner feel? Yeah. They feel like crap. Yeah. And then the partner, his confidence way down and he's feeling like his partner sucks. And so then they lose. Like 15-2 when it could have been a close game.
Sure.
And like you never give up on it. That's, again, my partners that I absolutely love playing with are the ones who are just builders. I feel confident around them. Like there's times where I've jumped a first shot, easy put away, get right in the net. and then like Aaron comes back, she's like, ooh, I like that aggression. I like it. Yeah. Or ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
I'm like, holy cow, sure. You're awesome. Sure. And it helps me play. Like we did Aaron and I took third in the Brigham City 5-0 last year. And it was mainly because of her just positive talk where I was just like,
that's awesome.
Yeah. So I don't know. And then speaking of, with tournaments, so Ash will often, like this last in January, we did a 5-0 team tournament. Mm-hmm. And my basketball attitude is when you get down, you hustle more, mm-hmm. right? You get aggressive and you do. And that's not the case with pickleball. And so she's always like, okay, gentle like a lamb. Just gentle like a lamb.
Gentle like a lamb.
And it actually helped a ton. So I started just dropping a little bit more, mixing in some more drops. And we were able to, thankfully, because of Ash and Aaron on the team, Dan Hone was there too, also a great guy.
Yep.
And we were, because of them carrying Dan and I, because Dan and I sucked it up, we were able to get into the gold medal match against Matt Johnson and Sid Lamone, and Sid for mayor, by the way, vote for her, for Pleasant Grove. Anyways, and we were able to get a win off of them. Just, we just had a good game. They're probably a better team than us. I know Matt's way better than I am, but we just got a win and we were able to get a gold.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was awesome.
That's how it works sometimes.
Yeah.
That's huge. Better team doesn't always win.
So we should have got a silver in that Highland one.
We should have.
We were right with them.
What went wrong in that tournament for you two?
We just didn't click at the same time. It's like we were kind of ups and downs, and then the team we should have beat to go into the gold medal match, they played really well. I didn't do so great, and it just was rough. Like we were up by one point, and then couldn't close it. Barely lost, and then with the other one, I just sucked. That one was 100% my fault. We lost the bronze medal match just because I did horrible.
Sounds like it was Sky's fault.
Nope, it's 100% my fault. So
you're doing a lot of covering and Sky's not doing a lot of talking.
whatever. So,
I mean, I do feel like I was doing really well that tournament, but
you did. You played well.
But I think we both did, honestly.
That's awesome.
We were on just a couple enforced errors by both of us, honestly. No,
by me, and especially in the last game.
You don't have to cover for Sky.
No, that's all right. I just felt bad. Like I did Strawberry Days with Zach Harris, and I was playing out of my mind. And there's the very first round, Zach was kind of sucking. I'm sorry, Zach. I love you.
I like Zach too. He's cool.
He's such a stud. And then I started sucking, and we were way behind, and we barely came back to win. And I was so thankful just because I did not want to go out the first round. And then we just started dominating. That's and cool. Made it to the gold medal match. Had to play Ruby Pineda, another great, great guy. Not only is he super good at pickleball, he's so fun to play with.
Oh, yeah.
And fun to talk to.
Who was his
with.
Partner? Was it Dylan?
No. Brennan
Adamson?
Oh, Brennan Adamson. Brennan Adams?
Brennan Adams. Is it Adams?
I think it's Adamson.
Like that. Is it Adamson? Yeah, I don't know. But so those two, and frankly, maybe it's a bad mindset, but I was like, we're going to lose to these guys because I did the best I could, but I just kind of fell apart. And Zach still played amazing, so we were able to get a couple points, but I fell apart. And so we got silver, which was still good, but yeah, I just... Again, partners that are super building and stuff like that, I love. And Zach is always like that. He's just super great guy.
Cool. Tell me about your game style. Are you a softie? Are you a banger? Do you like a mix of both?
It kind of depends on who I'm playing. I think my default is to bang.
Okay.
Just because when I get nervous, then it's the whole aggression thing. Is like my first instinct is like in basketball is dig deep, work hard, be aggressive, and sometimes that works to my detriment. But again, I need partners like a Rick Barrett, who's super control player. I think you're playing in his league.
That's right. Sandy. I am.
So he's just a super calming influence where he's just super consistent, always gets the ball back over. And my game is more like chaos is... I try to catch people off guard and like I'll look one way, hit it another, do things like that just to throw people off. And so I'll switch up my game to more of a soft game for a while if I'm going against like a Joe Lee who can smash the ball, then I'll try to slow it down, get to the net so that our percentage is, we have a higher percentage chance of getting the point and stuff like that. So it just kind of depends. In mixed, I do often bang a little bit more just because I like to point it middle to the female partner inside that area because then it makes the guy want to come poach it and it's going so quick they have to choose who's going to get it and often they mess up and it also opens up the line so that I can do an occasional down the line shot.
I would say his style is fun.
Yeah. Fun. I do. My main objective is to have fun.
Yeah. And I feel like he's like, yeah, he likes to have the trick shots in there. Yep. And really try and throw people off with like his eyes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He has some fun shots. I feel like his game's fun.
Yeah. When Sky and I played you and Rick at the Highland tournament a couple of months ago, and you guys were annoyingly scrappy. Like, you guys were resetting things, just getting the ball back. And yeah, your defense is awesome.
Yeah, they were lucky for sure.
Really lucky, but yeah, we won.
Very
though.
Lucky.
Yeah. Yeah, we won.
You did win.
Yeah, we did. We did end up winning. Yeah. So that was really cool.
Just tell them who advanced further in the playoff.
Man, that was such a long time ago.
Oh yeah, you definitely.
It was so windy. Like, that's all I remember from that tournament. Let's have a little fun conversation. So, like, should we have overhead serving? Should we have no more Ernie's or Burt's? Like, we can have a discussion, but if you want to just answer.
As you do it, I'll do quick
fire. As you go, okay, yes. All right.
Yes, you should have Ernie's and Burt's.
Should there be no more Nasty Nelsons?
Questionable, but I think it's a part of the game, because how are you going to call if they're standing right on the line?
Sure.
So.
Sure.
Yep.
What if they're standing off the side of the court? Should that still count?
Where's the judgment call? Like, where? Well, they're mid-court. Well, what if they're mid to center?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I don't know. That's a tough one. All right, what about lets on serves? Should it be allowed?
I think lets, I almost think it should be a reserve.
Yeah.
Just because people could practice that and try to intentionally do it. And so just call
it. Interesting.
And I don't know. Honestly, it's not a big deal.
It's a reserve in the pro scene.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it should be, especially in the pro scene, because of that. It's because people can intentionally try to clip it because it throws your game off. So.
Sure. Should people be trying to go more for body bags, especially in our leagues?
I think in a competitive league, anything's game.
Everything's
like,
fair.
Don't be shooting for someone's face.
And that's,
definitely, if you've got a body bag on someone, and I mean, you're not trying to injure them, I think that's total game.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What's your favorite pickleball you've played with?
Well, I'm using the Vulcans now. In fact, Sky's the one who kind of pushed Vulcans into the league. And it's...
That
and I'm
you, huh?
Yeah. I mean, it was a time when, what were we? We were using Duras.
We were using Duras.
Duras were terrible, man.
Super fast. But the problem is we had to have like 5 backup balls because they'd crack, especially with like Holland and Matt in the league.
I hated Duras.
Now we just need 3 backup balls for the Vulcans.
Yeah. Well, Vulcans, I think they've lasted pretty good. Occasionally one breaks, but overall.
Yeah, and some break more often than others. I mean, it just depends on the durability of each ball, but like, you go back to the Dura, I felt like every ball would break even mid game.
They were
and
soft.
You'd have to like change.
Do you see us switching to the lifetime ball soon for the leagues, or do you think we're gonna try and kill all the Vulcans we have first?
I think it's really like I tried to run the league as democratically as possible.
Yep.
And so if the majority of people want to use lifetime, we'll use lifetime. That's what we did with Vulcans. We just put it up for a vote, and most people wanted to switch to Vulcans, so we switched to Vulcans.
Yeah, that was a tough thing because a couple people had offered or something about, mentioned the crown, the pickleball, and I hadn't really played with that. I've seen it once or twice.
Yeah,
but
I've never heard of it.
But I had heard some good things, and then more balls have come out since the Vulcan. Since I joined the game. So before the Dura, there was just the Franklin, I feel like, and that was it. But then now you have the Bio Ball,
and then
the Selkirk S1, and they have their 1-year warranty, but I felt like they went out around so fast. Now the Lifetime Ball, and I don't know, man. I'm kind of waiting for more reviews to come out on the Lifetime Ball because I keep hearing some good things, but
it's fantastic.
I think it would be a good change. Hopefully we can maybe make that change in the future, but I think it's also expensive too, so it just depends.
Yeah, and it also depends on the league. It provides the balls for us, which is super nice. And
maybe the cost of our league would go up.
Yeah. And if the league cost of the league goes up, that would be too bad, but if everyone wants it, that's fine. So I'm really all about what the league wants, and it's made some of the suggestions like that are what makes the league better and better, is because people have a suggestion, and rather than saying, well, if you don't like it, leave the league or whatever, we take it to heart and see what we can do better.
So as we're getting towards the end here, is there any knowledge you would want to impart on our viewers and listeners?
So a player that I look up to, I know everyone likes Ben Johns or whatever, sure, but I love Jack Sock. And I love him because he's just having fun.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, if you're not having fun, you're doing it wrong. I really feel like that. Yeah. Honestly, the competition is great, but if you're not having fun, like, what's the point? Yeah. And like, I remember watching him, I don't even remember what event it was or whatever, but he like motions to Ben Johns to play with his left hand, and they both played with their left hand a point. You know, like a professional match.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, yeah.
After that, I was like, dude, I love this guy. Yeah. And then I saw him at Red Rock, and I was like, dude, you're awesome. And I was just talking to him about the whole left-handed thing. He's like, oh, yeah, got to have fun, man. And, you know, just like, and I was just like, that is it. Yeah. Like, that's totally what this is about. And, like, even if someone, like, is being a total douchebag, just roll with it and just laugh and just try your best to just have a good time. Because honestly, like I said at the very beginning, a super big core value to me is kindness. And if you're not being kind to those around you, then like you're taking up space in the earth that you don't deserve. So I mean, honestly, and I know that sounds harsh. That's not kind.
Kill mean people.
Just to give people a chance to be themselves, and there are times where you don't judge a person by their worst moment. And I certainly hope people don't do that to me, because I've had some pretty bad moments. And I think if we all could just learn to be a little more open-minded, to understand that our experience isn't everyone's experience, then I think we'll all be a little kinder on the courts and be better for it and make a better world in the process.
I love that. Thank you, Tad.
Sweet.
Well, thank you for coming on. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.